So tell me, we know that Jesus is the main gift at Christmas, but has anyone else received a gift this morning already? Has anyone already opened their gifts? Anyone? Is there any hands? We've seen a few, but not many. Let's hold our hands up high and pretend you really want to engage with this. Great, excellent, all right. Okay, so we've got a few people who've got gifts. Who out of those who've opened their gifts, who before you open the gift, who went to the tree, like maybe not this morning, or maybe you got up early before your parents, but maybe it was yesterday or maybe through the week, who went and touched their present just to check if it was their present? Did anyone touch their gift that was under the tree? Well, we've got a few. Did anyone kind of like move it around and feel and did anyone guess what it is and you actually got it right? Oh, there's a couple of you guys got it right. Oh, okay. It's one of those things when we come to Christmas, it's a great time that we give and receive gifts. It's an exciting time. But the thing about gifts is sometimes we don't really know what's inside of a gift when we look at the wrapping. I've wrapped up two gifts here. One of them I went along the lines of when I look at my wife when she wraps gifts, I try to take note and I try to watch and then I try to replicate the way that she wraps gifts, okay? The other gift I wrapped fairly, let's just say hurriedly. I didn't use quite as much care. Does anyone want to guess which one is more like what my wife would get? Gracie, what do you think? The one on my right hand. Do you think that? Oh, the other right. You're right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. This one. You know, it's nice wrapping. It's actually got some enough sticky tape on it that it covers what's inside. But the thing about gifts is that you don't really know what's inside until you open it up, right? Like, as much as the look of a gift is really important, as soon as you open it up, we discard what's on the outside. We throw it away because we want to focus on what's inside. Who here keeps their wrapping paper for next year? Is there any holders of wrapping paper amongst us? No one wants to admit to be a wrapping paper holder. Who like just tears it open and that wrapping paper will never be used again? Excellent, 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 excellent. Who here is not going to put their hand up whether I just keep asking questions all day? Thank you for being honest. So, we don't know exactly what's going to be inside, but the important thing is what's inside. You could wrap a gold bar in the scrappiest, like classified section of the newspaper, and you wouldn't know which one was the gold bar. Ooh, except for this one could be really heavy, it was the gold bar. And you could wrap a dog poo in really, really nice paper, and you know, like, I could give you that dog poo, you would see it with its gold wrapping and its bow on top, and you would gladly receive dog poo if it was wrapped really nicely, wouldn't you? No, maybe you're wondering. And that's too far, I'm hearing that's too far. And my ear is coming off. So it's really important what's inside, not what's on the outside. When I was a younger man, I used to wrap everything I had in newspaper. It was kind of a thing that, did we have it going or was it just me? That was just me. Before I was married, I used to, because I kind of thought, who wants to spend money on the wrapping when I could put more into the present, right? Like that surely is the more important thing. And then I got married and we do the normal thing now and we wrap, except for at home, we have a great tradition of using pillowcases because it's a recyclable wrapping paper. That's an exciting thing that the kids don't get to tear open. This morning, I want to give away a gift, and I'm wondering who might be interested in receiving one of my gifts. And I'm kind of looking, and I'm wondering if there's anyone who would like to come and receive a gift from me. Would anyone like to put their hand? Sam Macy, why don't you come forward? And I'm just going to grab microphone number one. That was handy. Now, Sam, I want to give you one of these gifts. You can hold this and you can stand and you can have a look at these gifts and you have to pick one. Not both, you only get one. And you have to think, as a pastor who's just explained about one could be dog poo and one could be much better than dog poo, but then, wait a minute, you know that I know that I could have wrapped one of them really dodgy and one really well. So which one do you think would be the best? But then you know that I know that you know that I know that I've wrapped one and not the other. So which one do you think would be the present that you would like to take with you today, Sam?
The newspaper.
The newspaper. Are you sure, Sam? Because you know, are you sure you don't want to smell it first? What do you think?
It's good.
It's good? You want to take the newspaper and open it? Okay, Sam, you have the newspaper. We didn't use that as much as I thought we might. And what did you get? Oh, it's a book. Whoa, and it's got some money on it and a candy cane. Oh, well done. Merry Christmas, Sam. You have got the present. Well done. Does anyone want their well-wrapped, potentially dodgy gift? Anyone? 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 Ansel, your hand went up and you can have that. We don't know. You can hold that till later because I don't want that being open in the church auditorium. We don't know what the gifts are and until you unwrap the gifts, right? And we've been talking about the greatest gift that was ever given. But isn't it interesting that the greatest gift that was ever given came in very ordinary wrapping paper? The greatest gift that the world has ever seen, Jesus, came in the most unlikely of settings, the most perhaps unlikely of wrappings. In the book of Luke, we read the angels singing to the or speaking to the shepherds, and then they said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angels spoke, and they gave three different names for this gift. They said he is going to be the Savior. That means someone who is going to save you. Is that right? Savior. From your sin. He was going to save people. And maybe people were thinking, well, I'm not at the beach, I'm not drowning, I don't need saving. But the angel said that Jesus would come to be a savior. The angel said that Jesus would be the Messiah. Now, the Messiah, for those people living in that time, they had an understanding that this word meant the promised king, the one who we've been waiting for, the one who we've been hoping for, the one who would come to change our life from kind of being downtrodden under the Roman rulers to maybe being lifted up, will be great once more. So they had this idea of who the Messiah would be. And then they said that he will be the Lord. And Lord was like a name for someone who was great. If you had someone who was your boss, you might call them the Lord, but the king, he would be the Lord as well. So there was a realization that there was someone great coming. And so the shepherds ran into Bethlehem and they found the baby in a manger. And I wonder what they would have thought. This baby who they were told was going to be the Messiah, who was going to be great, who was going to be wonderful, was wrapped in cloths, lying in an animal feeding trough. Not exactly the kind of wrapping you would expect for a gift as great as the King of Kings. Not exactly what maybe they were expecting when they heard such great news from the angel. So the shepherds came and they found baby Jesus in a wrapping that was perhaps different from what they first thought. Then we had the wise men, and as we saw, the wise men didn't actually come at Jesus' birth. They came a little while later. They traveled a long way. It was said that they had read the text, the perhaps the Old Testament, perhaps when Daniel was living in Babylon or in the Far East, maybe some of his words. They read things and they saw a star and they said, "We know this is the one. This is the king that is to be born. We must go and worship him." And so they traveled and traveled and traveled. And they thought, where would the king be born? And so they went to the capital of Israel, Tel Aviv. No. They went to Jerusalem. Sorry, that was a modern news kind of thing. They went to Jerusalem. It wasn't disputed in those days. That was the capital. They went to Jerusalem. And they went to the palace and they thought, where is the king going to be? In the palace, of course. So they went to the palace and they said to Herod, "Where is the king? Where is the new baby?" And Herod kind of scratched his head. He didn't know. They asked around and they found out from some wise people, no doubt in Jerusalem, that Jesus was going to be born, or the king was going to be born in Bethlehem. And And so they headed down to Bethlehem. These wise men, these well-learned people came and they found Jesus as probably a young boy, and they looked at Mary and Joseph and the rented kind of accommodation that they were living in. Remember that Bethlehem was a very distant kind of blip on the map of the Roman Empire. It was small. It was insignificant. It was not the place that people from distant lands would have come to celebrate a king. Jesus was wrapped in very humble beginnings, very meager circumstances. And then we have, I've heard that it's known that it was wise men and not wise women, because apparently if it was wise women, they would have arrived, they would have asked for directions on the way and got to Jerusalem at the right time. Actually, they wouldn't have even gone to Jerusalem. They would have gone straight to Bethlehem, and they would have arrived at the birth. They would have helped Mary with the birth. They would have bought gifts that were really practical, like a couple of nice dinners and maybe some nappies, and you know, they would have really helped. So we know it was wise men, not wise women. But instead, the wise men went to Jerusalem, and so King Herod heard about Jesus. And so what did Herod expect? He would have expected that there was a great king to be born that would usurp him in some way. Herod had his own name for himself, the King of the Jews. And then he heard about this new baby that was born, the King of the Jews, and so he got worried. He got upset. He asked around, he asked the wise men, he said to them, "Look, go and worship this new king, and when you come back through, let me know where he's living, because I want to go through too and slaughter him. I mean, honor, worship him. Man, that was a slip. And they went down, the wise man and angel told them, go home by a different route, don't go and tell Herod. Well, Herod eventually found out that Bethlehem was the place that Jesus or the king would be born, and so Herod sent soldiers down to kill all of the babies living, or the boys living in Bethlehem, because Herod as the king didn't want another king. No matter what the wrapping was, Herod didn't want Jesus to grow up and to take over his throne. And then we've got Simeon and Anna, these two priests and priestess who were in the temple, and on the eighth day when Jesus' parents brought Jesus to be dedicated, they were just flabbergasted. They were amazed. They recognized right then and there that Jesus was the Messiah. They honored him, and they prayed for him, and they praised God because of him. They recognized that Jesus was the one to come. And then there's Mary and Joseph, who saw Jesus and understood about him 9 months before he was born, of course, and the angels came to Mary, and she recognized that she wasn't anything flash. She was probably a teenage girl. Joseph at the time was betrothed to marry her, but they weren't married yet. So when he heard that she was pregnant, he thought, man, this is not the pathway I wanted. This is not my baby. And so he was looking to divorce her. An angel came, spoke to him. And so he decided after that encounter that he needed to stick with Mary. Even though many people would have kind of looked down on them and shaken their heads, a woman pregnant before being married. And so Jesus was kind of even born with this kind of idea that he was conceived out of wedlock, and so he was kind of looked down upon even before he was born. There was so many different people looking at Jesus and seeing what he was wrapped in, his humble beginnings, his mother, a young teenager, his father, a carpenter, so simple, so humble, so meager beginnings. No one expected in Bethlehem that night that the King of Kings was born. No one except for the shepherds who were told knew that this was the greatest event that their town had ever experienced. And so I wonder, with 2017 years of understanding of who Jesus was, how do we see this gift to us today? How do we look at Jesus and take him in our lives? Do we look at him as the baby who remained in the manger wrapped in cloths, or do we see him in a different light? In the book of Titus chapter 3, we read, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. It's really important at Christmas to think about how we give gifts. Some give on the naughty and nice kind of scale, and I get that. That might be where you sit, only giving gifts to the nice and the naughty kind of miss out. I've got to say that in our family, as much as my kids are beautiful and amazing, wonderful most of the time, we don't kind of go on the naughty and nice scale. And when I look at the people that I buy gifts for, it's not because I kind of like look at how nice they've been and then like have some sort of transaction as to what that means monetarily and kind of go, okay, they've been $20 nice to me and give them a gift along those lines. Instead, we look at gifts and we want to give because of the love we have in our hearts for those who we're buying gifts for. Surely that is the heart that we have when we give gifts to our family, our children, our friends. We give them because of the love we have in our hearts for them, not because of what they've done to us. Like if on Christmas Eve my child did something wrong to me, then I'm not going to like reduce all of those presents and say, ha, you're not getting all of that. Okay, I might threaten. But we didn't do that in the end. We still gave gifts because we love our kids. We love our family. We want to give because we love. How much greater then is the gift that God gave us? And in this verse, it speaks about the way that God gave this gift. Not as a sense of we've earned it. Not because of the righteous things that we've done. Not on the naughty and nice scale. God didn't look at people and say, you're nice enough, I'm going to give you Jesus. You can open this gift. Instead of our rightness, He relied on His mercy. Mercy means something that we get even though we don't deserve it. Actually, we deserve the punishment that the bad things that we've done wrong, the naughty things, deserve. But instead of punishment, God gives us grace. He gives us the gift of His Son. So that if we want to live a life that's truly alive, then we unwrap that gift. We come to understand who Jesus is. We take His love into our life and then we are changed because of it. It's our hope that today, that Christmas day, you might unwrap the gift of Jesus. Sure, He looks different to us now because we recognize that He lived for 33, something like that, years. He lived a life and died a death so that we could have forgiveness for our sins. And then He was risen up again so that we could know He's alive, that He's God. He went to heaven and He said He's preparing a place for us there. He's awaiting us who love Him, who believe in Him, who give our lives to Him. So this Christmas, may our lives be filled with His love because we've unwrapped who Jesus is. May we spend time, maybe through this holiday season, truly understanding who Jesus is and how He can be important for our lives. Because without that, we cannot have true joy and happiness and fulfillment at Christmas. This just is another holiday that we can spend with family and sure have a great time. But this will never be what it was designed to be unless we unwrap Jesus and see Him for who He is and start to develop a relationship with Him so that He can change who we are and make us better. That's my hope for you this Christmas, that your life might be improved, that might be better, more joy-filled, more holy, more happy because of the Son of God who lives inside of you. Let's pray. Lord God, it's our prayer that we might know You, not just at Christmas, but all throughout our year. And so I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit might rest upon us who gather here today. We pray that You might transform us. Help us to be more like You. Help us to understand Your incredible love, mercy, and grace. And help us to be able to love You so much that we share Your love with those around us this Christmas and throughout this year. We pray these things in Your holy and mighty and loving name. And we thank You, Lord, that You are the greatest gift that has ever been given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.